Marge has published several books, the most recent one being The Living Name, A Guide to Chanting with Absorption. Please check out his different social medias for guided meditations. He is well known in Panda Center for his continuous guidance in our mentorship system and attendance on our annual summer retreats. We're so fortunate to have his association today, so let's make the most of it. Marge will speak for around 50 minutes, and then there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. If you do have a question, please post it on the chat only, and then one of our co-hosts will unmute you to ask the question at the end of the talk. Please make sure that you keep your microphone on mute so we can listen to the class attentively and hear everything that Marge is saying. And now I'd like to hand over to Marge. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Lila Sara. So nicely you have introduced everything. Thank you. It was a pleasure to listen to you. Hare Krishna. When I first heard from Akash that we would have this meeting, I was highly intrigued because, yes, when we are on lockdown, we can unlock everything through creative ways. And this Sangha over the internet is certainly one of the ways which you can create Sangha. There's another way, and Prabhupada was once teaching us this way. It was when he was in New York, and there were devotees. No, wrong. When he was in San Francisco, and he fell very, very ill. At that time, the new devotees in New York missed him so dearly and were worried if he would be able to continue to stay with us. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote them a very, very interesting letter about how, although he was in San Francisco and temporarily not able to leave his home due to illness, that although this was the situation, they could have association with him in the heart. And what he said was, we should all chant, and by chanting, we will be locked together. We will be brought together. This is a very, very good advice, because Sangha doesn't have to be always on the level of seeing a person. Sangha doesn't have to be on the level of even being together on a computer program like Zoom. Sangha can also be there if we connect through transcendental or spiritual ways like chanting. In fact, this is the way we can have Sangha with Lord Rama. Although by material calculations, Lord Rama has ended his pastime and gone to the transcendental Ayodhya many, many, many years ago, it is possible for devotees to have Sangha or association with Lord Rama by simply talking about him, singing his transcendental glories, and feeling his presence arising in the heart. This way of Sangha is something independent of the internet and of all outer circumstances. It's a traditional way which has been going on since many, many thousands of years. It's called association by vani, by focusing on the instructions. So we will have now a wonderful Sangha, hopefully with Lord Rama, by speaking about him. And in this way, it is my great, let me say, hope and my, I prayed, in fact, to our deities for this, that Lord Ram may appear in all of our hearts now. So please let us all start by chanting. Please do this chant along with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Nayotya Matira Ram Ram Raghupati
One more moment, actually, on this. Dasharatha Nandana Ram. Everybody, please. Ayodhya Vasita Ram Ram Dasharatha Nandana Ayodhya Vasita Ram Ram Dasharatha Nandana Ram Ayodhya Vasi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare A little louder please Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Go Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, when I think of Lord Ram, I think of him as the ideal personality, the ideal king, the ideal husband, the ideal brother, and so many ideals. And become inspired. Because we as human beings derive tremendous inspirations from ideals. I do remember when I was a young boy, I had my room full of pictures of all my idols. now I have my spiritual idols. And I see in the apartment of Leela Sara, she has a picture of Srila Prabhupada, who is an ideal, a spiritual ideal. There are many ideals in Krishna consciousness, and we like to have pictures of them because they make us mindful of a better version of our own selves. When we follow an ideal person, we at once go beyond our own limitations. We go at once into an area where we have more courage, more inspiration, more enthusiasm. Therefore, the beginning of devotional service, the middle of devotional service, and the end of devotional service is associating with the ideal devotees, somehow or other. So, Lord Ram came to give this image of the ideal person. I heard a lecture of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who described a very nice pastime where Ram showed that although he lamented when Sita was kidnapped and appeared to be like an ordinary husband who had lost his good wife due to someone else kidnapping it, he never lost his ideal position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what happened. Sita Devi, Shivaji and Parvati were on their walk through the forest where Ram lamented only minutes after
Ravan had kidnapped his beloved Sita. He cried like one who had lost all his senses. He asked the trees for guidance. Did my Sita come by here? And she was kidnapped. And for a moment, Parvati thought, well, he's not ideal. He's bewildered now. He's so sad, and he's laments just like an ordinary person. He has lost all his inner strength. So when Lord Shiva looked at Parvati, he could understand Parvati's thoughts, and he said, why don't you test him? You are, Parvati, powerful material energy of the Lord. You can take on the shape of Sita and see what will happen. Will Ram become pacified? And then Shiva left and smiled. He found a banyan tree and he started to meditate about Ram. So Parvati thought it's a good idea. I test him. If he thinks when I take on the illusory form of Sita that now he is can be elated because he found Sita, then you know he's really an ordinary person. So she changed into Sita and approached Ram. But Ram just looked past her. He did not take note of her. Parvati were taken on the form of Sita. Parvati was very confused. And moments later, she saw how from the form of Ram, millions of Sitas emanated. And how on each side next to Mother Sita, there was a Ram. She saw an unlimited darshan of Lord, of Sita Ram. And she was overwhelmed. There was Sita and Ram coming from the left side. Sita and Ram came from the front. Sita and Ram came from the right side. She was surrounded by Sita Ram, who were talking pleasantly with each other. And then Ram looked at Parvati and said, Parvati, what are you doing here? You should be with your husband, Shivaji. Why do you walk alone through the forest? And laughed, and laughed, and laughed. So Parvati understood. She had misunderstood the Lord, and she went back to Shiva, who was sitting under the tree and smiling in an amused way. So Shiva said, what have you seen? And Parvati was still a little arrogant and did not want to say that Ram had outwitted her and showed her inferior position and showed that he is always the supreme God. I think this is a very, very important pastime, my dear devotees. Although Lord Ram appears to have activities amongst us where there is a lot of sadness involved. Ram is always beyond our limited perceptions. When Ram was returning after the many, many years I think it was 13 or 14 years of banishment in the forest. He showed another ideal, how he is so concerned about each one of his citizens and devotees. I think you all are very familiar with the Ram Leela, and you know how he was banished into the forest because of a boon which his father had once given Kaikeyi. And I think you all know that in the forest, Ravan, the most mightiest of demons, had kidnapped Sita. And I think you know that Ram had, because he was banished, he could not take the army of Ayodhya, but he had found another army, the army of Vanaras, which was led by Hanuman, Sugriva, Angada, and so on. And I think you know that the huge war for Sita ensued, and in the end, Ravan was killed. After these 14 long years of banishment, that so much had happened, Ram flew back to Ayodhya on a Pushpa Viman, a mystical airplane, you can say, which could expand in such a way that everyone of his Vanara army could fit on it. So they were on the way to Ayodhya, but just before Ayodhya, Ram commanded the airplane to land in the forest ashram of the sage Bharadvaj. And there he showed how much he cared for each one of his devotees and all the residents. He said to Bharadvaj, "When I went into exile, I came here to look for your blessings. Now I come reporting that the exile is concluded and I will return to Ayodhya. But I want that you do another thing for me. Please make that on all the trees in Ayodhya, beautiful fruits grow. Fruits which are so nourishing, so tasty, that my devotees and the general citizens, everyone actually was a devotee in Ayodhya, they will only need to pluck one fruit and then have the most delicious, nourishing, healthy meal which can be imagined." So Bharadvaj did his sadhu thing, and all the trees bore Ram fruits, which were taken by the Ayodhya Vasis as a sign that our Lord is returning and he's sending us already a present. The second thing, which shows Ram to be the ideal brother, was that he called Hanuman to his side and said, "Hanumanji, I wish you to go to my brother Bharata and give him the news that I am about to return to Ayodhya. And as you give him the news, study his face very careful for any possible expressions. And if you see that there is the slightest shadow of sadness that I return, because Bharata might have become accustomed to rule the kingdom, then tell him, Ram has said that he wants you to keep on ruling the kingdom." He said, Hanuman, you must know, wealth is so deceiving. It gets so much into one's head that even my brother could become influenced by it. But I am not attached to the wealth. I think we all know as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has all the wealth. There was an old song when I was a young boy, the song was all over the world, a glorification of the Lord. It said, he holds the whole world in his hands. Like, my wealth are my cartels. I can hold them in my hands. They are my cartels. So, in the same way, Krishna holds the whole world in his hands. Rama holds the whole world in his hands. So he's also, but at the same time, he's always detached, totally detached. So Hanuman took the disguise of a brahmana. They can shift their shapes. And he came to Lord, not to Bharata. Bharata stayed in a town just outside of Ayodhya. Who of you remembers the name? It was Nandagram, but not like the Nandagram, not Nandagram in Braj, obviously. He stayed there and ruled the kingdom from there. I think you also knew that he never sat on any throne, but he had put Lord Rama's shoes on the throne of Ayodhya, indicating that Lord Ram is the real ruler, but I only rule on his behalf. Bharata, who was also the ideal brother, ate every day only a few barley corns, which were soaked in cow urine. That was his food. No chapatis, no khichdi, no rasamalai, only this food. He was so renounced. He didn't want to enjoy anything of Ram's kingdom. So when Hanuman came as the Brahmin, disguised as the Brahmin, he saw a very, very particular scene. In Nandagram, there was a huge fire. It was a funeral fire, which Bharata had established, because if Ram would not return after 14 years of exile, I think it was 14 years of exile. Am I correct with the years? Please nod or shake the head. 14, Akash, no? You're the president of the Pandava Senas, you must know. 14 years of exile had gone. Bharata thought, if he doesn't return on the minute, I will enter the funeral pyre. So he was just moving towards the funeral pyre. Remember, Ram had made this little detour over Bharadwaj ashram because he wanted to feed all his citizens. No? You remember? So he was just on the way, going inside. And then Hanuman, in the Brahmin form, stopped him. And he said, O Prince Bharata, stop from proceeding towards the funeral fire. Ram is returning to Ayodhya. So Bharata looked at him. Who are you to tell me these news? Is this just an illusion? Who are you? So at that moment, Hanuman could understand Bharata is a very, very, very ideal and serious person. He must find somehow to connect with Ram, and he said he changed his form. No, he began to talk the Ramayana to him, the pastimes of Ram. I am the Ram Duta. I am the messenger of Ram. Please believe my words, O Prince. And then he changed into Hanuman. When Bharata saw Hanuman bringing the news that his beloved Lord Ram was returning to Ayodhya, his emotions were so strong that he fainted on the ground and lost his consciousness. Only by sprinkling water on his face could Hanuman bring him back to consciousness. And then he repeated for the second time, Ram is on his way to Ayodhya. Bharata again fainted. Then he had to repeat it the third time. Ram is on his way back to Ayodhya. Rejoice. He fainted again. And no, I don't think, not by the third time, he understood. Yes, Ram is coming back. And he cried and cried and cried tears of joy. Ideal brotherly love. Both expanded by Lord Ram in relationship to Bharata, and in the reverse, Bharata had ideal brotherly love for Ram. In this way, my dear devotees, you will find so many examples of ideals in the Ram Leela. Ideals like never to give up, even in the face of the versus adversaries. You know, they were banished, they lost everything. Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. They stayed absolutely composed. Although it was really difficult, especially for Sita. Sita was the ideal wife who followed her husband. Sita had never been in the forest. Sita had never, her feet were so delicate, her whole body was delicate. But she left Ayodhya in the dress of a hermit. She was dressed in deerskin, not in luxury saris. She gave up all her ornaments and she walked barefoot over the thorny paths of the forest and kept only Ram in and Ram's well-being in her mind. So many ideals. I could talk very, very long about the ideals, but I wanted to make my last point, two more last points I wanted to make. Two. One is a small point. So let me start there. I have taken some notes here, which I will find for you. Yes. For me as a devotee, there is a very important motive always there. I am very convinced, my dear devotees, that Ram is not only a historical figure who appeared so many millions of years ago and then left the planet. No, Ram is the Lord. And to a historical figure, we cannot make any relationship once they are gone. Someone like Gandhi, we cannot shake hands with him or have, I mean, shake hands, we don't do, say namaste to him. A historical figure leaves this world upon their departure from it for good. But the Lord is not such a historical figure. He can always be contacted. And there is a very, very wonderful way in which Lord Ram appeared to me, the last Ram Navamis. See, I do a lot of seva, but on Ram Navami, I like to stop everything and read about Ram, read about his pastimes. And I have done this now since not so long, actually, 2 years, 3 years, no, 4 years. 4 years. I'm usually asked to give a lecture in our temple in Berlin on Ram Navami, and so I spent the whole day preparing for the lecture, reading many excerpts of the scriptures and so on. And I have always kept this. It started, maybe it's 5 years. I'm not so good with the years. I don't remember numbers so well. So where I stop everything on Ram Navami, and where I feel mystically how Lord Ram appears to me and gives me directions. Last year, for instance, I did something. There is a process. It's called a Ram Oracle. It's you choose certain verses from the Ramayana, which are written down. You just at random find them, and you asked a question before. For instance, what is the lesson I should now learn in my life? And then you have cards with the verses of Lord Ram, and then it gives you answers somehow. Lord Ram speaks to you. This is, by the way, a wonderful process when you are in doubt or when you are in illusion in your life and your life gets tangled. You just open the Bhagavad Gita, and often when you look for the Bhagavad Gita, the page where you open it, the verse where you look at, it's often an answer to your question. You know, Paramatma, the super soul, who's everywhere, answers to his truthful devotees and speaks to them, sometimes through the scriptures. Who of you have found this, that you had a question, you opened the book and you read it, or you listened to a lecture, and boom, you thought that spoke right to you? Who of you has made this experience? Can I see a show of hands? So, I think we all have this, made this experience. We are opening the books, and the books start to open up to us, and Krishna seems to give his answer. So on Ram Navami, I have often seen this, that Lord Ram gives me in some ways an answer to a sincere question which I have. And I have always seen that by this, that Lord Ram is present. He is not like a historical figure who has just gone and left at a certain time. I've always seen this. And here is something in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, which shows that Ram is present even today. It's towards the end of his Leela, where Lord Ram made a huge sacrifice and completed it. And the verse says, Smaratam ridivinyasya vidandantakakantakai svapadapalavangrama atmajotya agatata. And the translation reads, after completing this sacrifice, Lord Ramachandras, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in Dandakaranya, placed those very lotus feet in the hearts of those who always think of him. He then entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet, beyond the Brahma Jyoti. My dear devotees, here you see a central theme of bhakti. The Lord is present. The Lord is not gone. The Lord is not a historical figure. He's always present. He can be present in our lives. He can give us answers. He can give us direction. And maybe more necessary for some of us, he can give us courage. Courage also to go strong, even in the present situation where we are restricted in some ways by the necessary lockdown. No? This is a very, very important lecture, a lesson for us. That Ram placed his very lotus feet in the hearts of those who always think of him. Just a little while ago, I read that once Bhaktivinoda Thakur was making a pilgrimage through the nine islands of Navadvip, and he came to the island called Modadrum Dvip. It's one of the nine islands. And there, as he walked, he saw under a banyan tree a straw-covered cottage, and before it he saw Lord Ram with his bow, and next to Lord Ram he saw Mother Sita. He was so absolutely inspired by this vision that he threw himself down on the ground to pay his obeisances. And at that time, Lord Ram motioned to Lakshman to go to Bhaktivinoda, who was lying in the distance. And Lakshman went, and you know, he's Lord Balaram. He is very joyful and very directly. He took his lotus foot, his right lotus foot, and he gently lifted it up and placed it on the head of Bhaktivinoda. Who would like to have the lotus feet of Lord Balaram on his head? What a blessing! Bhaktivinoda became surcharged with transcendental ecstasy upon the touch of Lord Lakshman of Balaram's lotus feet. And then Lakshman very gently said something. He said, "We are now living in the forest. We have not much to offer to our guests, but on behalf of Lord Ram, I'm giving you these fruits." And he placed these beautiful forest fruits, these mystical fruits about which I have talked to you earlier, when Lord Ram wanted the Ayodhya Vasis to have these special fruits. He placed these special fruits in Bhaktivinoda hands. And then the vision disappeared, but Bhaktivinoda had his hands full of the fruits of Ram. Everything was gone. The banyan tree was gone. Cottage was gone. but the fruits are there in his head. In his hands. So this is a little bit how I want to encourage all of you, my dear devotees. Lord Ram is there. He is not gone. He is not some personality whom we only worship on the altar, and he cannot come down from the altar into our lives. No, that's not Ram. Ram is there for all of the devotees who turn to him in a simple gesture and places of devotion and places his lotus feet in the hearts of those who think of him. Wonderful point. No, are you inspired also? Ram is there. He is not gone. He is more there than you are there. He doesn't need a computer to be there. He needs a heart of devotion to be there. And then he comes and places his lotus feet to us. This is my point about associating with Ram through his katha, through prayers, and so on. If you are want to hear more Ram katha, I have done some Ram katha on Ram Navami, and it is available on the internet. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so I see my time is coming close to the end. I want to see if you have any questions, my dear devotees, so that we can have a little live actions. And I think our Leela Shara, you will facilitate this question process. Am I correct?
I think Milan Prabhu will be doing that. There's a few questions on the chat. So Milan, do you want to unmute them so they can ask the questions?
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you, Maharaj. Everyone, if you do have any questions, please just put it on the chat, and I'll just call out your name as it is on Zoom. So first question.
Milan, you are in Krishna Balaram Mandir.
Oh, no. It's a background.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm thinking you're in Vrindavan, no?
Oh, no.
Milan, yes, yes.
So if Sailesh would like to ask your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lovely class. My question was that, bearing in mind the symptoms of Kali Yuga, what is the one quality of Sri Ram that we can learn from and apply in our lives?
He abided absolutely by Dharma. You do know that at the beginning of Kali Yuga, the legs of Dharma had been broken by Kali, and Parikshit then confronted him. And I think Ram's example is, he's called the Mayada Purushottama, the best of all persons who follows Mayada, means Dharmic rules. You know? Mayada means rules, so these are the rules of Dharma. And he came to show that in an amazing way. For instance, we all know that after Dasharath had had told Ram that I have given Kaikeyi two boons, and I have to fulfill them, and she has asked that you are exiled into the forest and Bharata becomes the king. This was, imagine, one evening before the coronation of Ram. Then Ram followed that and went into the forest. Now Bharata was very, very uncomfortable with this. Bharat went to with the army of Ayodhya to find Ram in the forest. And after he had found him, he said, please, you are the rightful emperor. Our father has left the body now. You are no longer entitled to follow his command. But Ram said, no, I must follow the words. That is the Dharma of the son, to follow the orders of the father. Then Bharata said, fine, if you want to abide by that Dharma, but I am the next king, and I can, and I'm giving you now the kingdom. It is mine to give. And Ram smiled and said, that is not what Father had in mind when he said 14 years in the forest should be the exile. So there are many examples in Ram Leela where he followed Dharma, and I think all of us need to identify our Dharma and understand what it is to do even in trying circumstances, because one who follows Dharma is protected by Dharma. Even in trying circumstances, Shailesh, please try to follow whatever is your Dharma and abide by them, and you will go very nicely through Kali Yuga without any harm. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. We have another question from Ram and Amrita.
Hare Krishna, Ram and Amrita. Yes, please pose your questions.
Thank you, first of all, for your wonderful class. I think you might have answered this question already, but I was wondering, if you look at Lord Ramachandra, when he was asked to go to the forest, he didn't protest. He accepted the what he was being asked to do. And but when Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ramachandra didn't just accept it as fate. He went after whoever it was who kidnapped Sita Devi and chose to fight Ravana and bring back Sita Devi. So I'm wondering, that how do we understand at times when something is, if something's arranged by fate, or when it's something that we have control over and we can do something about?
Wonderful question, Ram. Thank you. That's a very, very good question, and I think it is relevant to all of us here in this Ram Leela class. There are many subjects, and I am now going through my computer files, you know. To understand anything, I will first give a general answer. There, when we are bewildered and do not know, there are three sources where we can get clarity. And usually one of the three sources, if not all, will give us the clarity which we need. For instance, in this question, when to accept and when to protest. When to be okay with something and when to use all of our strengths to change the situation for the better. These three sources which will give us answers are listed like this. The guru, we asked our spiritual master for an advice here, because he has a larger overview. You know, we are maybe caught in a situation, but he has the eagle perspective. He has seen such situations. He sees other factors which we have not seen, and he can advise us. Then, if he is not at hand, or we think we can get the advice in a different way, devotees of Krishna, we can ask them and discuss with them. It is said in Kali Yuga, the best way to come to a decision is to ask a minimum of 5 brahmanas. So we would like to add 5 devotee brahmanas. And usually, by the combined advices of these, a very clear picture arises, which can give you inspiration. I know of one devotee who stayed in New York just recently, and New York is, as you all know, a very infected place. And he is from Pandavasenas, and he had the question, should I stay in New York or should I go back to England at this time? And it was not easy for him to come to a decision, because after all, he had gone to New York for a special educational project. So he asked several devotees, and then it became clear in his heart. Usually when you ask devotees in a difficult situation, and then they give you advices, at one time or another, it becomes so clear in your heart, it seems that the Lord in the heart speaks to you, do this, and you know, whoop, I should do this. Another source which we should, which we could go to ask for advices are shastras or scriptures. So by these three, guru, sadhu, and shastra, we should know the situation and should be able to know what needs to be done when things are not clear to us. And to all of us come situations where we are bewildered and where we require outside advice because we are stuck on our own. That's my little answer. I do hope it is practical. Thank you, Ram, and Amrita is mostly next to you. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, thank you. The next question is from Kishan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, thank you so much for your wonderful insights.
Hare Krishna, Kishan, I remember you. Yes.
Thank you so much. Maharaj, you spoke about Bharat Maharaj and how he was completely detached from enjoying anything in Rama's kingdom. And I was recently hearing that Bharat Maharaj was able to do this because he wasn't attached to the service, but because he was attached to the spirit of service. So my question is, Maharaj, how can we purify our intention and become attached to the spirit of service?
Yeah, very good question also. Very good question. Yes, we can. I think we can understand that sometimes there are devotees who are so attached to leading the kirtan that when you tell them, oh, the kirtan schedule is already full, there's no place, then they display major symptoms of attachment and become extremely crafty to try to somehow bring themselves on the list where the kirtans are there. So that would be an attachment which is to some particular activity, and it is often done or is often motivated by the desire to put ourselves into the center. Now, what Bharata teaches us through his example, he was not attached to ruling. He was attached to Ram. When we do service, what is the main aspect of the spirit in which the service should be done? It should be done for Krishna's pleasure or for Ram's pleasure, not for your own pleasure. So when someone is doing the service which you want to do, and he does it even better, if you would be attached in the right way, you would say, well, if he does it better for Krishna, then this is very nice because Krishna should be satisfied. The right type of service means to take yourself out of the center and put Krishna in the center. And that ends all enviousness.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is from Harika Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Krishna Final Bodhi Sincere, Shiva Bhakti Jay. Thank you for your wonderful class. So my question is, what is one quality of Mother Sita that we can imbibe in our lives because we are unqualified to pursue the level of austerity and sacrifice that she undertook? Is there a quality we can inspire ourselves with?
Thank you also for this wonderful question. Today we have questions which are so nice that they look like beautiful, really very beautiful questions, very relevant questions. I think there could be many good answers to your question. For you wish to know the one quality which we can try to imbibe in Sita's life. What comes to my mind, I have to just find your good name, Harika, is that she really, in the greatest needs of her life, always turned to Ram. I remember that Ravan had come to the place where Sita was held captive under the Ashok tree. And he had told her that Ram is dead, you should now look for a new husband. I am there, please submit to me. I mean, he said it in very ugly ways, I don't want to repeat. Ravan was not, he looked like the most beautiful man if he could take any disguise or shape, and he just tortured Sita with these news. She could not really sleep. All the time the Rakshasis surrounded her and said, Ram is dead, Ram is dead, Ram is dead. And she was they really tried to almost brainwash her into losing the focus on Ram. But no matter what they did, and they really had the best brainwash techniques you can imagine, and they threatened her and everything, but no matter what they did, she always kept Ram in her, the center of her mind, and that helped her to go through all the difficulties. I think this is the one quality which we need to learn when we go through our turmoils, when we go through the discomfort in our lives, the disappointments in our lives, the threatening circumstances in our lives. At that time, it is very, very necessary for us to keep connection with Ram and not to lose him out of sight, or with Krishna, you know, with God. That is the one thing which comes to mind. Also, I'm remembering this very, very, very amazing scene, you know, when Mother Sita had returned, there was one demoniac washerman who said, how can Ram accept his wife back, who was in the, who spent one night and much more than one night in the house of another man. That time the society was such that no one, this lady, were not accepted back by the husbands. I once saw in Puri, there was a terrible, terrible scene when a woman returned to her home and her husband was not accepting her. I think the woman was outside for too long, in his opinion, and the whole part of the town turned against this poor woman. And I just saw this, and I did not want to become, obviously, part of this strife. But then Ram ordered that I must be the ideal king. I must keep the rules of society, you know, the Maryada Purushottam, so that because a society without laws and rules turns into an animal society. So I must give the example and say to Mother Sita that I cannot accept her, but I want to give her a chance to speak. So then she was fetched out of the forest, and Mother Sita said, if I have thought of anyone else than Ram in my life, then terrible evils may befall me. But if I have thought of Ram all my time, then Mother Earth should accept me back. And that time, the earth split, and the goddess of the earth came forward with a golden throne on which she ushered the completely pure Sita Devi, and Sita Devi sat on the throne, effulgent for all of Ayodhya to see. And Ram looked at her and cried, and then the earth swallowed Mother Sita. She went to join Ram in the eternal Ayodhya. She went back to the eternal Ayodhya, and Ram left a little later also. So yeah, this total focus on Ram is very important. And I think that's the one lesson which we should learn, that in our difficulties, you know, the real devotee will be shown by where do you look for shelter. I think the present situation is pressuring on some of us, and whatever we are, it will show also. When you pressure a lemon, lemon juice comes. If you pressure a mango, mango juice comes. If you pressure a devotee, Krishna comes out of the heart. So, and this is now a little pressurized situation. And now let us take full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet so that Krishna comes out. Hare Krishna, like in Mother Sita. Now, my dear devotees, I have to ask a question. In my watch, we are 11 minutes over time. So what do we do in such a situation?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you. We had many more questions, but we'll stop here. So we'll hand it over to Leela, who will speak now.
Yeah, but thank you all. Can I say something at the very end? Some farewell message?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class and taking the time to share the glories of Lord Ram. The class was very enlivening. We can see so many wonderful questions coming through. Thank you to everyone that joined us today. We had around 250 devotees at one point.
Wow.
So that was really nice. And some points that really stood out to me that I would like to share. At the beginning, Maharaj, you said that Sangha doesn't have to be on the level of seeing another person. It's about connecting on a transcendental level. And we cannot have a relationship with a historical figure. Lord Ram is not a historical figure. He can be contacted. He is present. He is there. We can connect through Ramkatha, chanting his glories and praying to him. And now I would like to hand over to Pulkit Prabhu, who will be making a quick announcement.
Thank you, Leela. So just before Maharaj's final remarks, I just have a small announcement. If I can just request everyone to open up the calendars and get ready to save a date. And the date is there. You should all be seeing a poster. And it's our next event is on the 10th of April. We have a huge virtual program and it's open to everyone. 2020 has been a rough year so far, and some of the most important things to maintain when times are rough are hope and faith. So this Friday, we're very fortunate to have Naveen Krishna Prabhu speaking to us on how to deal with faith in the face of tragedy. So please save the date and keep an eye out for a Zoom link. It'll be sent around along with other reminders and details. We look forward to seeing everyone then. Thank you for joining in today. I'll just hand it over to Maharaj again for the final remarks. Very well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Can you hear me? Good, good. Just a brief statement. It was a real genuine pleasure to be with all of you together. I thank you for giving me a chance to glorify Lord Ram, because as I try to say, I feel Lord Ram very, very much present, especially around Ram Navami. And I'm really very, very inspired to share this.